Matthew chapter 1, starting from verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Morning, everyone. So this morning we're continuing our path through the journey through Matthew as we come closer to the birth of Christ. And our passage this morning, it's really a matter-of-fact birth announcement, but it's from a bloke's point of view. It's very simple. It's a bit like one of those welcome to the world cards that's often sent out when a baby is born. And this morning this card is written by Joseph. There's some beautiful details here about the lead up to the birth of Christ. But the actual birth itself has just got one small part of a sentence. It's very stereotypical male perspective, isn't it? The actual part of the birth, the manger, the journey to Jerusalem, that's not really part of this story. So last week, we began our journey. And Reuben took us through the genealogy of Jesus. And today we're going to look at the lead up to the birth of Christ with the details of Matthew. And during this week, I was reflecting a little bit on early in our own marriage. And when we were dreaming about having a first child, there's lots of thoughts went through our minds at this time. There's so many questions. Are we ready for children? What will it mean for us to become parents? Will it be a boy? Will it be a girl? Whose features will it take? What sort of things would this child like to do? What will they be when they grow older? I just started a building business at the time, so what would the implications of that be? There was much to consider. And then I'll never forget the moment that I saw that positive pregnancy test. It was actually quite emotional. I'm not going to lie, it was a little bit scary. And it was definitely life-changing. It's certainly a surreal moment between a husband and a wife. And I was 100% sure that the child was mine. It can be very hard to fathom the feelings of a partner who finds out that their spouse is expecting a child with somebody else. By the grace of God, I've never experienced this. I've never had to counsel someone through this. And maybe these feelings have been real for you. I can only imagine feelings of anger, feelings of betrayal, feelings of helplessness, feelings of just not being good enough. But in our passage this morning, these feelings for Joseph were very real. That surreal, that delightful moment that Joseph could have only imagined would happen with Mary were shattered. And they were replaced with feelings of hurt, betrayal, and helplessness. So our story today is really, it's a narrative of when Jesus was born, and it's fair to say that he was off to a very rocky start. He's to be called Emmanuel, God with us, and he's making a statement entry. This is a pregnancy, out of wedlock to a godly couple. But why? Why does Matthew focus on such confrontational details? The reason is because God was going to teach Joseph a lesson. He was going to let him in on a mystery that was so miraculous that it was blow his mind. But it was also so wonderful, it would change his life. And this morning, God invites us into Joseph's story so that we can learn this lesson too. Sure, we've all seen the nativity scenes. We've all sung the carols and we've shared in the festivities. But have we really understood the heart of Christmas? Not until we've received this mind-boggling, this life-changing experience like the one that Joseph had on the very first Christmas. So as we look at the virgin conception and the birth through the eyes and the feelings of a father, the main message that we will look at this morning is found in the name that's given in verse 23, Emmanuel, God with us. And as we explore this, we're going to see that Joseph is taken on a journey. And we're going to focus on the three main steps. And the first step of this journey is that Joseph plans. So if we compare the Gospel of Matthew with the Gospel of Luke, Luke focuses a lot more time on Mary and on her journey. Luke tells of Mary's meeting with the angel, of the trip to go and see cousin Elizabeth, and the difficult travels all the way to Jerusalem while being quite far along in pregnancy. It's really helpful to have this story from the two different angles, from a mother and from a father. It really gives us a full perspective of the importance of Jesus' birth. And as Reuben highlighted for us last week, the genealogy of Jesus includes the fathers of the households. Until we get to verse 16 of Matthew 1, where we introduce to Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. Joseph is not the biological father of Jesus, but he is his adopted father. At this time, Joseph was betrothed to Mary. This is a word that's often used when describing the relationship between Mary and Joseph. But what actually is a betrothal? A lot of people have referred to this as an engagement period, as what we know today. But in the ancient Palestine world, the process to wed was slightly different. There was still an engagement period, but this happened very early on, when mother and father of the groom and mother and father of the bride, they got together and they decided that the children would be good for one another. Then at the appropriate age, the couple would become betrothed. This typically was for a period of 1 year, and during this year, the husband were now considered husband and wife. But there was no sexual relations between them, and they did not live together. They were legally bound together, and this union could only be broken with divorce. Then after this period of 1 year was over, the wedding would happen, and the groom would take the bride home to be together. So here we have this young couple in the betrothal period. They've probably been engaged most of their lives, and they've just made the upcoming wedding official. Even though they're not officially married yet, they are considered to be husband and wife. And it is in this period where Mary and Joseph were meant to be fully committed to one another that it seems there's been some unfaithful business happening. Now, the Gospel of Luke, it tells the account of the angel visiting Mary even before the conception and telling her that she would be with child from the Holy Spirit. Now, Matthew doesn't tell us, but I think it's quite clear from the story that we just read that either Mary never told Joseph about this, or she did tell Joseph and he didn't believe it. But now you can imagine how Joseph would have felt. Right? His world would have crashed around him. His heart would have been in his shoe. This was the ultimate shame for a faithful man. He knew the child was not his. But the people around him, they would be wagging their tongues and they'd be pointing the finger. There would have been huge shame. And this shame would have had ramifications for Joseph's standing in society. Not just in the synagogue, but also in his family, in his carpentry work business, and in every single part of his life. Joseph is in a really difficult spot. As far as he knew, Mary had been unfaithful to him. If Joseph had chosen to press charges, their betrothal, which was already regarded as marriage, meant that their unfaithfulness would be treated as adultery, which is an offence that was punishable by death under the law of Deuteronomy 22. So Joseph was faced with a dilemma. And he made the very best possible decision that he thought he could make under the circumstances. Look at verse 19. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in his mind to divorce her quietly. Joseph was a righteous man, which meant he followed God's law. If Mary had been unfaithful to him before marriage, then he had every right to press charges. But he was not just a righteous man. He was also a godly man. Yes, he upheld the law, but he also showed mercy. He could have thrown the book of the law at Mary, but he did not want to expose her to public shame. He loved her. He did not want to make an example of her. And so Joseph chose not to press charges. He didn't want Mary to suffer any harm. So instead, he took it in his mind to divorce her quietly. He would simply give her a certificate of divorce and off they would go in their merry way. And right now, you're probably thinking that, yep, this is a pretty good and wise plan by Joseph. But in fact, this plan was made without some vital information. Joseph was about to make a very big mistake. Joseph literally, he had the Savior right before his eyes, and yet he did not see him. Jesus was right there. Joseph was going to become his earthly father, but Joseph was blind. He needed his eyes to be opened. He was a godly man who underestimated just how marvelous God's salvation plan would be. It is possible to miss such a plan with it right there before us. If you're here this morning and considering the gospel, if Christianity seems for you like a story that's just too good to be true, or maybe a mythical story that's just well written, I encourage you, look deeper. Take a second look and find the riches of a Savior born to a virgin. Never would we expect God to come to us as a baby, entering the world in such a controversial way. Never could we have dreamt up a redemption plan that the Son of God would have to come to this earth to die. Even a righteous man like Joseph struggled to see the Savior for who he actually was. So, folks at Riverbank, as you go out into your community this Advent season, as you speak to people this afternoon at the carols, don't ever underestimate how radical this gospel is. Allow time for people to wrestle and pray for God to open their eyes. For this story is so radical that you want to tell others about it. It needs to be a talking point. This is a radical story that transforms the lives of those who believe it. But a radical story that is humanly impossible. This is a radical story that needs the divine intervention. If God does not open our eyes, none of us will see it. And so, as Joseph was considering his life choices, he was making plans with sorrow in his heart. The Lord appeared to him in a dream. And this is the second step in Joseph's journey, Joseph's discovery. Joseph would have been in deep sorrow. And before he could put his actions into place, God meets him in a dream. The angel appears to him and gives him two commands. First, he's to take Mary home to be his wife. Look at verse 20. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." There's a couple of things in this verse which is really worth noting. First, the angel addresses Joseph as the son of David. This is quite key. It means that Joseph is directly descended from David, and he is in the royal line of kings. Remember, Matthew began the genealogy in chapter 1 by calling Jesus the son of David. And now the angel reminds us that Joseph, Jesus' adoptive father, is also a son of David. And the wording of the first command here is also worth noting. Joseph is told not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife. Now, I'm not sure that I would have used the emotion of afraid when I would describe how Joseph was learning about Mary being pregnant. But these words, they really instill to us the shame that Joseph would feel in the community. There would be shame to have your betrothed pregnant outside of marriage, and even more shame if she's pregnant to someone other than you. But God says, do not be afraid to move forward. Put your hope and put your trust in me. I have a plan here that's about to blow your mind. And then the angel proceeds to open Joseph's eyes to the reality of the situation. Mary is still a virgin. She has not been unfaithful to you. God has worked a miracle. The child has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. And then comes a second command from the angel, which we find in verse 21. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus was a very popular boy's name of the time. It was the same as the Hebrew name Joshua. And this name means God saves. This name was a reminder of how God had saved his people Israel, had escorted them out of Egypt, and that one day he would come to save again. But this time, Jesus' name is given greater significance. The meaning is not just God saves, but it is this baby that will save the people from their sins. His name is a prophecy of what he will do. His name looks forward to the cross where he will take the punishment for the sins of his people, the sins of you and the sins of me. And then in verse 23, we really hit the climax of this passage. The angel stresses again that Mary is a virgin. In fact, he does not even call her by name, but he calls her by title. Verse 23, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus now has another name. It's one that's far less common amongst the boys that are playing in the streets. He will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Only God can save us from our sins. And there is nothing that we can do in and of ourselves. And Matthew makes it oh so clear that this child to be born is both God and man. Jesus was given two names at his birth, Emmanuel and Jesus. And these two names perfectly describe the person and the work of Christ. Who is the person of Christ? He's Emmanuel, God with us. And what is the work of Christ? He's Jesus, who would die on the cross and save his people from their sins. Friends of Riverbank, this is your Saviour. Philippians 2 says, your Saviour who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So friends, meet your Saviour this morning and build upon this meeting. Strive for a relationship, for this can only produce one thing. This is a relationship that opens your heart, a relationship that brings you to worship daily, a relationship that loathes the muck of the world, and it strives for a life lived in service. This relationship, built on the saving grace of baby Jesus, brings peace to troubled hearts, brings comfort to those who grieve, brings hope and a renewed love for those in our community around us. Think of an example of Paul. He met his Saviour on the road to Damascus. This man had been persecuting Christians daily. Yet after this meeting, it completely turned his life around. We have many of his words right here to continue to guide us. Right, this is the effect that a meeting with your Saviour has. It brings a new identity, a transformed life, and a deeper understanding of the grace that's offered to you on the cross. And so, as this dream now ends, Joseph's mind would have been blown. And he now had a choice. He'd just been divinely told that the fulfillment of the prophets and the promise of a Saviour was to come through him. He could bow to the public shame of a child born out of wedlock. He could bow to the rules of the law. Or he could respond to the words of the angel and the prophets. So as Joseph has just had this discovery, wilder than he could ever imagine, his final step in this journey that we will consider is his response. Often when someone makes a mistake, and maybe this is just in the construction world, but we often say, he only had one job. Well, folks, Joseph had one job, and he did it well. He obeyed the angel in his dream. Now we can see his character in action. Earlier we were told that he was faithful to the law, and now we see in his actions that he is faithful to the one who is to fulfill this law. Joseph responds in faith. He responds in action. He receives a command from the Lord, and he did it. Folks, when God is calling you, you too must respond. God sent his Son to this earth for you to meet your Saviour, and you must respond. Open your heart. Hear the call of the gospel this morning, that as God so loved the world, he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him will inherit eternal life. If you are early on your journey in Christianity, God is calling you, calling to your heart, and he is prying it open. If you've been a Christian for a very long time, maybe God is calling on your heart right now to rediscover the joy of Christmas. The joy of a Saviour who has brought with him salvation and eternity. And so we see that Joseph took Mary as his wife. And then we see that he also obeyed the second command that the angel gave him. He called him Jesus. Joseph has taken the responsibilities of a father, and part of this responsibility is to name his child. We see Joseph obeying the angel and calling him Jesus. As a father, he names his son and he adopts him as his own. This adoption, it brings Jesus into the family of David. It gives Jesus the legal rights of kingship through the bloodline of David. And all of this because of the obedience of Joseph. So as we sum up this morning, friends, believe in the miracle birth of a Saviour. It was a miracle. It was a miracle in conception. It was miraculous in the angel's announcement, and it was miraculous in the prophecy that it fulfilled. So read the birth announcement card from Matthew and marvel in the wondrous birth of your Saviour. So take the time during this Advent season to marvel, but also to go against the cultural norms of 2025. To not be afraid of any shame, but to share the beautiful news of the gospel of a virgin birth. While the story of a baby conceived without any input from a man, the story of God being born as a man, the story of a God that's coming to serve and to die, the story that there's nothing that we can do to earn our place, this is a storyline that the world is quick to shame. But this is a story that is right before your eyes. Eyes that just need to be opened. People are more open at Christmas than any other time of the year to hear about Jesus or to come to church. Who will you share Jesus with this Christmas season? Who will you invite to church to come with you to hear about their Saviour? Jesus' birth is for all people, all times. Jesus is Emmanuel. He is God with us. God miraculously came to earth through Jesus to save from our sins. This was a birth announcement for the ages. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this special child that was born more than 2,000 years ago. We thank you for the way that Jesus was born and for this journey that Joseph had to go on. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may see you for who you are. That we may see Jesus as more than just a baby, more than just a friend, more than just a miraculous birth, but that we see him as Emmanuel, as God is with us. What a comfort and a joy to know that we have your Son in our very presence. And as we celebrate this gift over the next few weeks, help us to keep the focus on that very first Christmas. We pray for a blessing on our day of worship today. Bless the carols this evening, and may all of this be done to your honour and glory. In the name of a precious child, born to a virgin, the name above all names, in the name of Jesus, Emmanuel, we pray. Amen.